Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever.
Reading from Mark chapter 5, commencing at verse 1. Jesus and his disciples went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area.
A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw a man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how many Jesus had done for him, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed.
"Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Lord, fill Keith with your spirit, we pray, as he speaks. Fill us with your spirit as we listen. May we hear your true words to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm just going to pick up my phone. I'm doing a Christopher. No, I'm not actually doing a Christopher. Okay, that's an amazing story, isn't it? I'm not going to focus really on the main bit of it. Just that this man met Jesus in a remarkable way. And then he was told not to come with me, but to actually go and say something to the village or the family that he belonged to. And that was really probably the first missionary, that he was actually saying something about Jesus. Something quite simple, really, because he hadn't really known Jesus that much, not for very long. He only met him just a few minutes ago, really. So he had a story to tell. And I suppose what I'm trying to say this morning is that we all have a story to tell. So, this series is amazing, isn't it? Talking about the gospel. And I think this is the fourth of five, is it? If you're finishing off next week. So yeah, I suppose the question is, what is the gospel? And we all know it's good news. We all know it's the good news about Jesus. But I sometimes think that it's the gospel, I think the good news is a lot bigger than perhaps just knowing Jesus. I think in some respects it's really understanding who God is. And of course that's an impossible thing because God is unknowable in some respects. But we can get to know him by our journey. John 3:16, that wonderful verse. In fact, it's a sentence. It's got a number before it, but it's only part. But anyway, I'll not get sidetracked. It goes, how does it go? For God so loved. So that's the first bit, isn't it? So God loves. He's not a remote God. He's not a God who just doesn't want to get involved with mankind. He actually loves. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that God loves. God is love. For God so loved the world. So it's people, humankind, I suppose, but it's also creation. It's everything to do with the world, that God loves the world. So for God loves the world, for God so loved the world that he gave. So he's a giving God. It's wonderful, isn't it? That he doesn't take and demand things like the old gods used to do, but he actually gives. He actually gives. And of course he gave the best, didn't he, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And of course that leads on to our belief. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, so whoever, it's not just Jews, it's Gentiles as well, it's everybody, whoever believes in Jesus can have eternal life, a blessing, a blessed life, an abundant life. A life that we're living now is all part of that eternal life that we have in God. So that's, I suppose, the gospel. But there's much more to it, maybe. So what is our testimony? I remember when I was baptized, when I was 16, that I had to give a testimony. But I only had sort of a few years, really, of knowing God, really. So it wasn't that much of a testimony. But of course, our testimony moves on, doesn't it? It moves on as we live life with God. But you know, it's a bit like those preachers in America that go, testimony! Yes, I've got a testimony. Well, we all have a testimony, don't we? Perhaps not as big and loud as that, but we have a testimony. So what is your story? What is the story of God in your life? Do you have one? Maybe this is the first time you've been in church, maybe. I don't know. I don't know you. Or maybe you've been here loads of times, but you still haven't really understood who God is. So, what is your story of God? So just keep listening if you don't know. You know, the early church, it could have been snuffed out very easily, couldn't it? If you think about it, they were in Jerusalem, Jesus had died, and it could have very easily have petered out. But the reason was that the people obviously knew Jesus, lived with him, so they remembered all the things that he'd done. They'd known about his miracles. They'd looked even at his death. They'd seen his. They heard his words. They'd seen his resurrection, and also his ascension. So they knew. They were witnesses, weren't they? So they knew what Jesus was all about, and they wanted to talk about it. They wanted to say things about it. Peter, James, John, Mark, Luke, Paul, Stephen, Philip, all these guys. They had something to say. So, and the good news spread around the area. Then it even reached, I think it reached the Britain's shores in 500 AD, not BC, 500 AD. So it spread like wildfire. And it was all because of the words that were spoken, the stories that people had. So, testimony. what is said and what is heard. So as I say, we've all got a testimony. I'll share mine briefly. I was brought up in London. I suppose with all these little dates, you can probably work out my age, so there you go. I was born quite a long time ago. But my parents, they'd just become Christians. It was the 1954 Billy Graham Crusade, and they gave their lives to Jesus. So they were really on fire for God. I didn't understand that. Of course, I was a tiny little baby. But I was dragged to church three times on a Sunday. My father became a pastor, in fact, of two churches. And I was brought up with the Christian faith, so I understood and knew about Jesus, but not really in my heart. But in 1966, again, a Billy Graham crusade, I gave my life, and so did my brother, to Jesus. And that's where, in a way, it all started. And I couldn't stop witnessing. I was talking to everybody and anybody, and because I was on fire for God. And of course, that becomes normal after a while, doesn't it? The excitement maybe diminishes, I don't know, but it did in my life. But I was baptized when I was 16. But it really started to, I don't know, I suppose I started to rebel, I suppose, against maybe what my father and mother had been teaching me over all these years. There must be something else to life than this, I thought. But I was still going to church because I was a pastor's son. I have to do those sort of things, don't you? But I didn't have any real direction or power in it. So I really started to think about, you know, where is God? You know, is there a God? You know, is it all just a pack of lies? I remember screaming out to the night sky once that, you know, where are you, God? And in some respects, I was quite suicidal in respect. I really felt there was not any worth living. But there is a God, believe me, because I met my wife. So she came along, and I knew that there was a God in heaven after all. Anyway, we changed churches. In fact, I went to Barbara's church, my wife, and we had very comfortable lives. You know, we preached a bit, we prayed a bit, we did a bit of this and a bit of that. But it was really, really comfortable. So is this something similar to your story? It may not be. It may be something totally different. Your story might be different, but there may be some resemblance to my story. So there was no real sacrifice in my life, really. You know, there was rules to follow, but no life in it, really. But then about 25 years ago now, goodness me, it was the Toronto Blessing was happening, and I was really impacted by the Holy Spirit. And that again spurred me on to something new and something greater, I suppose, in some respects. So that's my story. What's your story? Is it similar, or is it very different? You know, that story we said that, you know, with this man who was, you know, had all these demons in him. You know, he went away, didn't he, and spoke straight away to his family. So he was probably one of the first missionaries. So he had a story to tell, a very brief one, but a remarkable story. And it's all because he had an encounter with Jesus. All the people were amazed. So what about your story? So, but why are our stories of Jesus so important? Well, I believe they're unique. I think our stories show how God connects with people. Our stories increase our faith. Our words, I believe, have a real impact when we speak the words of Jesus. And I also believe that our stories really do release the power of the Holy Spirit. I think there is a change when we speak our words, and they have an impact. And if there is the power of the Holy Spirit behind them, things can change. You know, the miracles that we have. I believe our conversion is a miracle, when we realize who Jesus is. But all the other miracles we see in healings and in prophecy and all the other bits and pieces that go along with knowing Jesus, you know, these need to be heard as well as seen. So if you know Jesus, if you've been touched by him and see him transforming the transforming power in your life, you have a story to tell others about Jesus. It says in 1 Peter, I'll do a Christopher. Hold on. Bear with me. Bear with. I'll be there in a minute. Sorry, no, you don't do this, do you? It says in verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, I think it's a good idea to maybe to write out your story so that you can think about it, because I think that helps. So I've done it here. I've written it out, and I think it's wonderful to actually remember what God does in your life. But let's be honest, you know, with each other. You know, what holds us back? Lots of things hold us back, doesn't it? There might be a fear that we might be ridiculed. There might be a fear that we might say something wrong or out of place. I've probably already done that, but, you know, never mind. It could be the notion that we have nothing to say. And it could be that it's not our job, it's the vicar's. But it is our job, not just the vicar's. You know, I now ask people, you know, in fact, I have a tendency to go up to strangers or maybe the checkout girl and sort of saying, well, what's happening? And they say, well, I've got an ache here, or didn't have a very good night's sleep, or, you know, and then I have a tendency to try and pray for them, which I think is great, really. But that's me. It doesn't have to be you. I'm not saying you should do that. But what I'm saying, if you take the opportunity to speak your testimony, your story to people, then it will make a difference. So, you'll be pleased to know I'm nearly finished. I suppose the question is, do you know Jesus? You might be coming to this church for a long time, or you might be here for the first time. Do you know Jesus? Of course, knowing Jesus, I believe, is the most important thing. Without Jesus in your life, then I think you're missing out. Jesus gives you purpose, he gives you joy, he gives you wonderful things. We have eternal life with him. That's like that first verse, that verse we rang. So if you don't know Jesus, now's the time you can know Jesus. So perhaps ask me afterwards, or ask the vicar because he knows about it, or anybody else in this congregation. I'm sure they'll help. So what is your story? Think about your story and see how you can tell that story to the people who need to hear it. Amen.
Thank you, Keith. Good advice. So maybe that's something we could do when we go home, actually. Let's just sit down and think, what's my story with God? What's the story of coming to know Jesus and so on? And just write down a few headings even, so that if somebody asks you, why do you believe? Why do you go to church? Why are you a Christian? Then you can tell them a little bit of the background